Thank you very much, church, for being here today. What a blessing it is. I know that we have had some bad weather the last few hours, really, yesterday and maybe even early into the morning, and we may have some that aren't able to be here because of that. But I am thankful that you're here. I'm thankful that we have had this opportunity this morning to gather. I believe Brother Justin, are you wanting me to dismiss? Okay. Sorry, I just saw you. And if you have a child that is wanting to go to Azalea City Kids, you feel free to go at this time. Adults, you don't go, though. All right, you still going to hear me. Except Justin. That's debatable sometimes. No, I'm just kidding. I'm glad that you're here. I hope that everybody's doing well. If you're visiting with us, please know you're special to us. We're glad you're here. We love to have visitors. That means that there's opportunity to get to know you and you get to know us. And if you're a visitor looking for a church home, let me just tell you about this one just for a moment. This is my home church. I've grown up here. I've only worked one other church job besides here. And so I've been blessed to be here, and the reason is because this is the greatest congregation I know, and I am thankful, and I love them, and I can tell you, you won't find a perfect one here, mainly because you don't have a perfect preacher, but the reality is we're a bunch of imperfect people trying to get to heaven, and it's a loving group, and I'm glad that you're here. We're in a series of lessons entitled Confidence. One reason I preach to you about confidence is because it's something I have not always had and sometimes even still struggle with. My entire life, I have had low self-esteem, not believed in myself, I've not had the confidence I need to have. And there's going to be a sermon coming about confidence in self, but I want you to understand we don't put our confidence in self, we put our confidence in Christ. That's where this is all building to. But the reality is, to you today, maybe you don't have confidence. Maybe, you know, we ask the question, Levy did a great job teaching, always does in our class, and we pose the question, why do we not go? Why do we not evangelize? Why do we not talk to people about Jesus Christ? And sometimes it's a lack of confidence. It's a lack of confidence maybe in ourselves. We don't lack confidence in the message, because the message is always going to be right. The message is true. The message will last. As Johnny said, 2,000 years ago, Paul, by the way, Johnny, great job. 2,000 years ago, Paul said in Romans 8 that we can be more than conquerors, that neither death nor distress nor peril nor danger, no, all those things, persecution, it can't separate us from the love of God. Only we can take ourselves out of that. So the confidence in the message is still the same. But it may be confidence in ourselves. Well, the way these series have started out, we talked about 3 weeks ago, confidence in the storm, confidence in the captain of the storm. Remember, Jesus Christ was standing on the water. Am I out of batteries? Test, test, test. Okay, he was right. Had confidence in Brother Robert. He was walking to the one who was standing on top of his problems. Well, last week was Mother's Day, and so we talked about confidence in mothers. Really, that series, that lesson, we adapted to mothers, but it's really about those who raise us. If we're raised in the church, if we're taught about Jesus Christ from a young age on, we can have confidence in our families. We can have confidence in Christian mothers and fathers and Bible class teachers and such. But today we're going to tap into what is one of the greatest sources we have, but maybe one of the most neglected privileges we have, and that's prayer. This morning we sang about sweet hour of prayer, about taking time to be holy, about being more like God, being more like Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was a man who prayed. He prayed to His Father, loved to communicate with His Father. And today, I want to challenge you, I want to challenge myself, I want us to have confidence in our prayers. Now, let's talk about communication just for a moment. I've used this illustration numerous times. I think it still drives the point home. If I were to go home today and not talk to my children again. Let me just say I chose one of them, okay? And I'm going to choose Madeline right now, okay? I love my Madeline very much. She just graduated K-5. I'm proud of her. But let's say, and Madeline, this would be sad, wouldn't it? If I went home today and I said, my little girl, okay, my precious little girl, I'm never going to talk to her again. Many of you right now, that just turned your heart because you know what that would feel like. You know how miserable that would be. If I decided to never talk to my Madeline again, do you think when she is 16, 17, 18, 20, 30 years old, we're going to have a relationship? No, it's going to be dead because we never communicated. Well, folks, if I go home and do not talk to my Father through Jesus Christ, His Son, then my relationship with Him is going to be dead. I'm not going to be able to have that type of relationship that He desires of me. So communication is important. Turn in your Bibles, if you will. Got a lot of reading today. 2 Kings chapter 19. You know, if I'm going to talk about prayer, I'm going to 2 Kings 19. 2 Kings 19 is my favorite place to talk about prayer because I've lived 2 Kings 19, not with Hezekiah himself, but in my own life. I know what it's like to receive bad news. You know what it's like to receive bad news. You know what it's like to have a burden. You know what it's like to hold this weight in your hands that you can't hold up on your own. And that's what Hezekiah receives. Let me remind you what's going on in life and times of Hezekiah. Hezekiah is king of Judah. And he is a good king in a long line of bad kings, okay? And so Hezekiah, he is trying to be the king God wants him to be, rule over God's people, but he receives some bad news from Assyria. Okay? The king of Syria is Sennacherib. And Sennacherib is bad to the bone, we could use that term, right? He is a bad man. He has totally annihilated everybody that's in his path. And so, as he receives this bad news, he's going to do something with it. Okay, the Assyrians, again, bad people. Sennacherib, a bad man. He has totally annihilated everybody in his path. And he hands a letter, or he has a letter handed to Hezekiah and says, hey, you're next. We're coming your way. Well, here's what Hezekiah does. 2 Kings 19, beginning in 14. Hezekiah received the letter from the hand of the messengers, and he read it. And Hezekiah went up to the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. Then Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel, the one who dwells between the cherubim, you are God, you alone, of all kingdoms of the earth, you have made heaven and earth. Incline your ear, O Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see. And hear the words of Sennacherib, which he has sent to reproach the living God. Truly, Lord, the kings of Assyria have laid waste the nations and their lands and have cast their gods into the fire, for they were not gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore, they destroyed them. Now, therefore, O Lord our God, I pray, save us from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you are the Lord God, you alone. By the way, I could get behind a leader like that, couldn't you? I mean, think about the king of Judah now, king of God's people, Hezekiah. He receives this letter, in the scroll, has the words, and my words, not the Bible words, Terry's words here, hey, you're next. Look at what all I've done. Look at these nations around you. I am the king. I'm Sennacherib. I'm king over Assyria, and I've utterly destroyed them all. And you are next, Mr. Hezekiah. So Hezekiah is like, I don't know what, we can't beat these guys. We can't do it alone. So he takes that letter, and he doesn't just say, God, please help us beat, I know we probably can't help us, but that's not what he does at all. He takes that letter. It's a beautiful scene. And folks, you've got to do this. You've got to pray. If you're holding on to something right now, he spread it out before the Lord. He took that letter. He opened it up and he said, this is what I need help with, God. And I'm confident that you're going to hear me and I'm confident you're going to answer these prayers. By the way, let me give you the spoiler alert here. Here's how God answered that prayer. he sent one angel, killed over 100,000 of the Assyrian army, and then Sennacherib's own children turned against him and killed Sennacherib. God answers prayers. Hezekiah was confident in his prayers. Hezekiah also, remember, you remember when he was going to die. He turned to the wall, he cried, he prayed, God, give me more time. After they said, hey, we're setting your house, set your house in order, you're going to die. You remember what the Bible says? I have heard your prayers, I have seen your tears. God wants us to come before Him and spread it out. Another passage I want you to look at, Mark chapter 11, beginning verse 20. Now in the morning, Mark 11, verse 20 now. Now in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. By the way, when I was a child, I used to think all fig trees were cursed, you know. But then I remember, well, you have figs. How does that work? He just cursed the one fig tree, okay? All right? But you remember Jesus cursed that fig tree, you know, and was proving a point. Well, they passed that fig tree, and here's what they see. Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look. The fig tree which you cursed has withered away. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. There's your confidence, folks. Have faith in God. For assuredly, he didn't say maybe, perhaps, he said assuredly. The root word is be assured, okay? Be assured, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Now listen, I don't know that I need a physical mountain moved into the sea, personally, okay? That may mean that you go and you're like, hey, let me just see if this works. We're not going to literally move physical mountains. But there are spiritual mountains in our lives. There are spiritual valleys in our lives. There are spiritual hills in our lives. There are spiritual obstacles or roadblocks in our life that we need removed. Jesus Christ said, lay it before your Father. Put it on Him. Have faith that these things will be answered and whatever you need will be done. Folks, when we have that type faith, when we have that type confidence, then we can move mountains. We can. We can. And we should. I want you to turn to James 5. I told you we're going to rapid fire some verses this morning. Because I got a gut feeling in here, there's some that need these verses. There are some that need these things in their lives. James 5, again, it's a great passage on prayer. But I'm going to pick up in verse 17 about Elijah. James says, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. In other words, a human being like we are. And he prayed earnestly. You remember this story, don't you? That it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. Now that's having confidence in God, and that's an answered prayer. But after 3 years and 6 months, they're like, whoa, we need a little rain, God. You know, and so what does he do? He prayed again, and the heaven gave rain. And the earth produced its fruit. You see, when I hear passages like that, I think, that's just Bible. But folks, I've had it happen in my life. I hadn't told this one in a while, so I'm going to tell it real quick. When I was 16 years old, I obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, okay? Y'all know. I mean, I was here. My grandfather baptized me into Christ for the remission of my sins. Well, at that time, my career was going to be in baseball. I was going to go, and I don't know what I was going to do. You know, I wasn't as good as Jason Smith, okay? So I couldn't play in the bigs like him. But that was my thought, at least at the time. I had that kind of belief. Well, I was playing, and you know, back then, you didn't, even if you went to public school, we didn't have to worry about playing on Sundays and Wednesdays. You know, it didn't happen very much. And so, even going to public school, you know, for the first time in my life, and I believe it was a trial to go through, I received our schedule, and we had a couple games on Wednesday night. well, I've committed my life to Jesus Christ. And some of you might think, well, that's not a big deal. Well, folks, it's a big deal to me, and I believe it's a big deal to God. I didn't want to send the message to my God that baseball was more important, but it was really important in my life. But I also knew I couldn't go to my coach and say, hey, coach, you know, I'm just going to go to church, because he wouldn't have understood that. So I went to the one who's here this morning that could give me the advice, and that's my mama. Again, confidence in mothers, right? This ties right in. I went to mama. I said, mama, what do I do? She said, son, pray about it. I'm like, thanks, mom. You know, thanks. But in all reality, that was the best thing to do, because I started praying. I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. God, just let me know what to do. Both of those games, folks, both of those games, it rained as hard as I've ever seen. You can't play baseball in the rain. Our coach even said, I believe some of y'all are praying for rain, trying to intimidate us. I'm like, I was. I really was. But I didn't tell him that. But the reality is, I know if you put it before God, it doesn't matter how big or how small, it matters to God. He wants His children to be taken care of. And if it's in God's will, it's going to happen. And we've got to believe that. And so this morning I want to talk about confidence. Jesus Christ, pretty familiar with Him, right? The greatest teacher to ever live. Think about the way Jesus taught. Think about it. The greatest teacher who's ever lived. But the disciples didn't ask Him, Lord, teach us how to be teachers. The greatest encourager who's ever lived, Jesus Christ. But the disciples didn't say, Lord, teach us how to be encouragers. The greatest miracle worker who's ever walked this earth, the disciples didn't say, Lord, teach us how to be miracle workers. The disciples asked Him, Lord, teach us how to pray. And that's what we need to learn, is how to pray. And to pray with confidence. 1 John 5, Carl, thank you for reading to us from verses 14 and 15. This is the basis of our sermon today, 1 John chapter 5. But verse 14, John wrote this. Now this is the confidence. Again, this isn't just a word we made up. This is biblical. Confidence that we have in Him. That if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. So how do we spread it out? How do we move mountains? How do we lay it before the Lord? Lord, teach us how to pray. The first thing we need to understand when it comes to our prayer life is we need to have confidence. And I'm going to take it a step further. We need to have the confidence of a child. Confidence of a child. Look back at the beginning of 1 John chapter 5 now. Verse 1. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves Him who begot also loves Him who is begotten of Him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. Did you hear what He said there? He's talking about being born, being begotten, being children. He's taking our minds back to being like a child. When a child asks for something, they ask for it with confidence. They have confidence in mama and daddy, or grandma and grandpa especially. You know, hey, can we have this? Especially when it comes to grandma and grandpa, because usually grandma and grandpa say, yes, you can. Right? So they're going to keep asking, because we keep assisting. And they recognize that my mom and dad can do that. You know, my mom and dad, you know, they're still, you know, in my mind, superhuman, you know. But I know, I recognize my dad is slowing down. When I was a kid, there was nothing I didn't think my dad could do. You know, if it come to building something or it come to whatever, you know, I felt like he could do it. You know, I feared him. You know, he is the toughest man on the planet, you know. In my mind, those are the type of things that we as children have in our parents. And that's the way our children see us and our grandchildren see us. They see us as, hey, we've got confidence, so we're going to ask. Well, that's what Jesus wants us to be. God wants us to be as dear children. I want you to have this type of confidence. Because what happens when our children ask us for something, if it's in our will, if we can do it, we're going to do it. Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 7, ask and it'll be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask Him? That's right. Our children come to us and say, hey, Dad, Mom, can we have something to eat? We're not going to, can I have fish or can I have chicken nuggets or whatever it would be today, okay? We're not going to go give them a rattlesnake. You know, that's not the way it works. And that's why they come to us and ask. Now, suppose though, there's the child that comes to us with confidence and says, Dad, let's go be for supper. Of course, you know what I'm going to say? Well, ask your mama. But anyhow, let's say they come to us and say, hey, can we have Pop-Tarts for supper? You know, if Mom's out of town, that's probably a real possibility at my house. Okay? Or pizza. But if they come to us and say, hey, Dad, can I have Pop-Tarts for supper? I admire their confidence, right? But I'm not going to give them Pop-Tarts for supper in reality. Okay? Why? Because it's not healthy for them. It's not the best for them. They need some protein. They need the things that they need in their bodies that will give them strength, that will help them to grow and do that. But I admire their confidence. They could have just gone and snuck the Pop-Tarts, but they didn't because they knew what would happen if they did. But the reality is, think about it now. Let's tie all this in. If you go back to what it was said in 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15, with confidence we have in Him, we ask according to His will. According to His will. Now, when we go before God, it may be a Pop-Tart kind of idea in your mind. It may be minute compared to some other things, but it might be a hill, it might be something. You can go to God and ask Him for whatever with all the confidence to know. And here's what we got to know. If it's according to His will, He will answer it the way He knows best for us. And that's the confidence we need to have in God. Just like a child asking before their parents, we need to ask our Father. Hezekiah went to God and he spread it out. Hey, what if the answer would have been, I'm sorry, Hezekiah, you're going to be defeated. He would have just had to live with it because it would have been what's best. But he sent the answer. And the answer was good. And Israel, Judah, they were victorious. So, number one, if I'm going to have what I need to have, if I'm going to be able to ask God, then I need to have the confidence of a child. But number two, I need to have the clarity of a soldier. Clarity of a soldier. Look at 1 John chapter 5, beginning in verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Now, if you look up the word victory, the part of the definition says in a conquest. And that's the thought right here. Being victorious like a soldier in a war. In some kind of conquest that we're in. Okay? And folks, we're in a war. We're in a war each and every day of our lives. The devil doesn't want you to be here this morning. He doesn't want your mind to be here. He wants those chairs to be hard on your backs. He wants you to have all kinds of discouraging things. Man, this preacher's long-winded. All this other stuff. But God wants you to grow closer to Him. So what's going to happen? You see, I'm hoping that we're striving to grow closer to Him. We're putting away distractions. We're putting away all the things out there. And we're saying, God, I'm growing closer to You today, no matter what. Well, in order to do that, our minds have to be clear. We have to have clarity. We have to be able to see God. That's why He said, times like in the Old Testament, in Psalm 46:10, when He said, "Be still and know that I am God." Because our minds get filled with a bunch of stuff. The more we watch, the more we take in, the more we read, the more we observe, we have all this cloudiness in our minds, and we need clarity. When I think of clarity, I think about victory and conquest. I think about a soldier. A soldier goes into a battle, their minds have to be on the battle. It has to be on defeating the enemy, on the plan. We need to know that God knows the number of hairs on our head, right? He knows the number of hairs on our head. He knows everything about us. So He knows what we're going to ask before we ask it. But He wants us to have clear minds to be able to come before Him. I don't know what maybe clouding your mind, but if you're struggling in your prayer life, there's something clouding it. There's something clouding your vision. You know, sometimes I'll be talking to people, and it's embarrassing to me because I don't want them to think I'm not paying attention, but sometimes I wear contacts, and so I'll get an eyelash or something on my contact, and I'm like blinking, and I have to explain, "I'm sorry, I got something on my contact." And I don't like to do that, but it happens. But when my vision gets cloudy, you know, it's frustrating to me. You know, now I have to wear my readers on top of my contact if I'm going to drill something or whatever, you know, if I'm trying to read, because I can't see it. Because why? Our eyes are, they've got a film or they've got something that's blocking the vision. But man, when we can see, it's a beautiful thing. Well, if your mind right now is cloudy, if it's got something keeping you, if there's something in your life clouding your vision of confidence to spread it out before God, then we've got to get rid of it today. We've got to make sure that when we pray, it's clear. And folks, let me tell you, that's why He talked about going into a room, into a closet, into whatever, and praying to the Father. Jesus would separate Himself from the disciples, separate Himself from those who needed Him. And He would go up and He'd spend time with God. We've got to do that. Listen, I'm all about praying going down the road. I'm all about praying whenever it comes to your mind. But folks, we need time when it's just us and God. We need time when we can turn off the distractions, turn off the whatever, and spend time with our Father. You want to grow spiritually? Try that. Put it in your life today. Get rid of the cloudiness and get the clarity. Think about Jesus. God in the flesh now. He knows that the cross is before Him. And so what does He do? He goes to the Garden of Gethsemane. Why did He go to the Garden of Gethsemane? Because that was His safe place. That was His place that He went and He could find God. He could see God. So He goes there and His message is very clear. Now there are a lot of distractions. He knows Judas is coming and he's going to betray Him with a kiss. They're going to arrest Him. He knows the cross is before Him. His disciples, His friends, they won't sit up with Him. But He still goes and at least three times He prays to God very clear, very to the point, "Take it away from Me. Let this cup pass from Me." Now obviously, we know the rest of the story. But He knew He was going to war. And He wanted God specifically to be with Him. We need the confidence of a child. We need the clarity of a soldier. And finally this morning, we need to pray with the certainty of the victory. Look at 1 John 5 beginning in verse 6 now. "This is He who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. Not only by water, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear witness in heaven: the Father, the Word, the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness on earth: the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree as one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which He has testified to His Son. He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. He who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed the testimony that God has given of His Son. And this is the testimony, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. The message can't get any plainer than that. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. He said, you can know today. You can know your destination. And you should know it. Simple as this. Do I have life through the Son? If I don't, then I still know my destination. It's like a college math professor I had. I told you this before too. He said, you can have an index card. All your exams are going to come from your previous exam. Your final exam is going to come from all your exams this year. You have an index card, and on that index card, whatever you write on there, it can help you. Folks, I got every question from every exam on that one index card. Because I thought, if I have every problem on this index card, and when I go in there, I already have the answers. Okay? I made 100. I had better vision back then, so I wrote smaller, I could see it. But I made 100 on that exam, but I went in there with the answers already in hand. You see, today, we know the answers. We know the answer. We've just got to take the time to obey Him. We need to know that no matter what mountain is in your life, no matter what valley is in your life, no matter what obstacle, roadblock is in your way, we will be victorious as long as we're in Christ Jesus. We need to be confident. Lieutenant Colonel Ronald Spears. He was a paratrooper, started out as a paratrooper in World War II. Those were some of the toughest of the tough, the bravest of the brave, because a lot of them died as soon as they jumped out of that airplane. They were shot and landed in trees. It was a really bad scene. But ultimately, Lieutenant Colonel Ronald Spears, he survived, and he moved up the ranks. But there was a battle right after the Battle of the Bulge. It was an attack on the town of Foy. The East Company's lieutenant, Norman Dyke, he had encountered shell shock. He was over the brigade. He was over the company of these soldiers. But he got shell shock. And he froze up. He didn't know how to direct them. He didn't know what to do. They were lying in ambush. They were in this battle over Foy. It was going to be really tough. So he was relieved of his duties. And Spears was then made company commander. Well, not really having a plan, they had to kind of wing it. So they're like, what are we going to do? So the heroics of Spears led the Americans to be able to take the town of Foy. Well, what did he do? They were on one side of a road. On the other side of the road, it was heavily infested with German soldiers. But beyond that was another brigade, another company of soldiers. That if they could get to them, they could attack from the front and have them attack from the back, and they could be victorious and they could take the town. Only one problem, they didn't know how to get over there. So here's what Spears decided to do. He took off. He jumped across that road. He ran through that heavily infested town of German soldiers. They didn't know what to do. They're like, what is this crazy guy doing? They didn't shoot at him as they went. He gets out of the company. He tells them the plan. And everything's great, right? Well, he still had to get back and tell them the plan. They didn't radio or anything. So then he runs right back through them. And now they're shooting at him. In fact, they're like, let's launch heavy artillery. And they're firing. They miss him. He gets back and tells them. And you know what those soldiers said? Wow. Anybody that's willing to do that, we're going to fight for him. It was insane. But he was willing to lay down his life so that that town could be victorious. Spears led them to victory that day. They had confidence in the one who became their company commander. I want to close with Ephesians chapter 6. And I want you to see the old VBS sketch, okay? Full armor of God. I'm going to ask you today, are you clothed in Jesus Christ? Are you clothed in this armor? Here's how Paul wrote it. Verse 14, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. Now, I want you to see the soldier. They would have their waist protected, okay? God's asking you to protect it today. I think of the waist as the center of the body. What should be the center of our life? The truth of Jesus Christ. The truth of the gospel. We need to have that centered today on our waist. And he goes on to say, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Now folks, if we don't protect the heart, we're going to not last long in this war. So today you need to protect the heart with righteousness. We need to get the bad out and put the good in. He said, so gird your waist with truth, put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. What are we going to stand on today? You're going to stand on conflict? No. We're going to spread it out before the Lord, and we're going to stand in peace. Peace that passes all understanding. Peace that only comes from Jesus Christ. So I'm standing on peace. I'm centered with the truth. I'm protecting the heart with righteousness. And then he goes on to say, and above all, taking the shield of faith with which you are able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. So now I've got protection. I've got this shield that the devil can throw anything at me, but I've got faith. I've got confidence. And then he goes on above and take the helmet of salvation. Okay? I've got to protect the mind. I've got to think about heaven. I've got to think about salvation. So I've got my helmet of salvation, my shield of faith, my breastplate of righteousness. I'm girded in truth. I'm standing on peace. And he said, I'm going to give you your only weapon. Okay? Say with me now. It's the sword of the Spirit. So I've got all this defensive. Now I'm on offense. I've got to know the book. And most of the time we end right there. And I mean, that'll preach. I mean, that's VBS, right? We know it. But I want to close with the bonus. In verse 18, he gives us the bonus weapon. He said, praying always, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Really, we have two offensive weapons today. That's the sword of the Spirit, but we also have our prayers. Today, some of you may not be clothed in that armor. you may not be ready to run across enemy lines. You may not have the confidence of a child, the clarity of a soldier. You may not be certain of your victory today. But I want you to get the vision clear. I want you to know that today, if you're baptized into Jesus Christ, you can put any mountain you want out in the sea. Today, maybe though, you've done that and you need prayers. We have men that will come, our shepherds of the flock, and they will pray with you. And you can be restored again. But today, don't leave here without tapping into the weapon. Let's be confident in God. Be confident in our prayers as together we stand and sing.